Well, hello, Jason.
Hello, Curtis.
It's good to see you again. I feel like it's been one or two days, I guess.
Well, it's been one or two days for you and me, but it's been a little bit longer for Pints and Pairings. Yes, sir. That is the opening of today's show for all of you that are out there watching Ustream and listening live.
This smells good, too. This is a mighty powerful.
I like the color. It's got an interesting little... True to their name, a golden hue. So this is Golden Road's
Wolf Among Weeds. It is their double. It says it's an IPA, but this is at 8%.
Oh geez,
this is a double IPA.
We're starting big.
Well,
and I think we only do justice to our listeners as well by saying that this is take two. This is going to be take two of our hybrid. And
light English, amber, yeah. And English pale ale. And because I didn't want to totally relive everything, I decided not to start off with a 4.5% English session.
Well, considering the amount of consumption that we've had over the past few days, why stop and go down into the light sessions? Cheers.
Well, yeah, and this beer kind of leads us into a good opening segment. Was we were just at the Firestone Walker Invitational Beer Fest.
We were
last weekend,
and I brought my little snifter. I was so excited. I was like, maybe I'll use this today.
Those are perfect tasting glasses, and I'm starting to get a few more of those snifters. And snifters, just in general, whether it's a little one or a big one, are great taster glasses because you get a little Mount Porter in there, and then you can swirl it around.
Sure.
Get agitated, get all the aromas,
and then it really funnels that aroma right to your nose.
Right, you can't get away from when you pull it up to your lips. Your nose just sticks right into the glass.
And you know, you and I and Joby, we went up to the Invitational. We battled through extensive number of tastings. We really trudged into the weeds in terms of food and speaking with all these head brewers. It was quite difficult. We did all the work. I come home, I show the snifter to my wife, and she's like, "Hey. Yay, finally a glass that's my size. That's the perfect amount of beer that I like to drink."
So this isn't your glass anymore.
Apparently not.
Okay.
I'm borrowing it for the day.
Is that what you're getting at?
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Well, the reason I opened up this beer was because of all of the happenstances, I guess, from the festival. So you know, we get in, and then Joby knows a couple people, so we get behind the scenes take.
And Joby's people know a couple people.
Who know a couple people, and they get us behind the scenes at the Russian River tent. And so we don't have to stand in line for Pliny the Elder or Temptation. No, what was the one that they had on tap?
I believe it. Let's look.
Supplication was the big bottle that they.
They had Pliny and Temptation on tap, and then they did have Supplication in the big bottle. Like, it looked like a small...
It was...
like an armament. It was huge.
It was a... if I remember right, it was a 6 or 9 liter bottle. So it was a giant bottle.
Yesterday, I was running with my buddy, who's a homebrewer, Eric, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, I want to hear all about the festival." So I'm telling him some of the details, and we got a couple sprints up the hill, and out of the blue, I looked at him and said, "Hey, would you be jealous if you knew that we were behind the tent with Vinny while he was pouring?" And he goes, "Yes."
Yes, I would be. I'm so bummed. So we were behind the scenes. Vinny's all, you know, I'm just standing there just enjoying it. I didn't even realize that he was there.
And Joby was elbowing me going, "Jason, right, Jason." He's like pointing down, like, "Jason."
And all of a sudden this guy's rummaging through a box at my feet. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And so I look down and I could just, and funny that I could tell from the back of his head that this is Vinny, the owner, brewmaster of Russian River right there, digging through. So I had a great time with that one. Then, you know, just as with Andy, the other partner.
Oh, man, Andy, he was all over the board. That guy was like, "Where's Waldo?" It was our own little Firestone Walker Invitational "Where's Waldo" book with Andy popping up in how many tents? He was in and out talking to head brewers. Next thing you know, he's pouring 2011 barrel-aged Dark Lord from Three Floyds behind their table with them. He's got his beer in one hand, taking sips, and the pitcher in the other hand, pouring. I'm like, "Dude, how'd you do that?" He's, "I don't know. One guy had to do an interview and started to leave and said, 'Hey, you want to pour for us?'"
Yeah, so whenever we turned around and Andy was missing, we all took a look around and we had to start looking behind the tents, behind the tables, because he was either talking or pouring, you know, wherever he was at. So that, and then you know, just hanging out because Joby knows Matt Brindelson from the head brewer at Firestone. We were able to get into the post party brewmaster picnic thing, which was incredible. And so, I mean, just kind of, we weren't supposed to be in there. They had a couple of wristbands, VIP wristbands, and then all of a sudden, all four of us are back there just because we pretended that we were supposed to be there for the most part.
Well, and like you said, we had the right connections. So we behaved ourselves. We acted appropriately. We showed an appreciation for the craft. So I think that helped a little bit. But we definitely, if you remember correctly, which I'm still a little gray, but if you remember, we stayed so long that the entire fairground conference area closed down. It was black outside. We could barely find our way out, and we had to bump into a security guard and ask to be let out. I was almost going to climb the fence.
You know what? That is a highlight that I had almost forgotten about, that I was still concentrating on how we were in this picnic, and the guy was walking around with bratwurst, and I'm just filling up a plastic beer cup full of bratwurst chunks, you know, just eating, not realizing that I'm going to be eating a half a chicken in about 15 minutes, too.
Yeah, exactly, which was excellent. The team out there, they did a fantastic job. The food was fresh and hot and really good. Good company. We're out there throwing, you know, bags at the cornhole game, drinking up beer. It was an awesome time.
Well, and one of the right here is the can of the Wolf Among Weeds that I'm showing you. And how we ended up getting this was Joby was playing the sandbag game, and then some guy said, "Hey, do you want to? Can I play?" And he's all like, "Yeah, I've played it a few times." And
yeah,
turns out he was a ringer, but he was the brewmaster from Golden Road. And so we're sitting there talking, and he brings over a couple of these, you know, a four pack of these cans, and we're sitting and. And just as I was getting ready to leave, I remember, oh, wait, there's that can still. He gave us that four-pack, and there were three in there. And so I looked over at the tables where we were at, and so I went over and grabbed the can because it was still sitting there. And so this is how we're kind of tying everything together here today is with a
We finally 8%, tightened the bow.
8% IPA, Wolf Among Weeds, Golden Road, brewed in Los Angeles. So anytime you're running around, and I don't think they're too far off from the from Union Station. I think you can get to them pretty easily from Union Station. So if you're
That's excellent because good transportation, you know, when you're drinking is critical. And you talk about that a lot on Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis, and you're using the We're Driving service. We can't recommend enough. Drink responsibly. We're having a good time on the show, but drink responsibly, enjoy good beer, and then make sure you got a plan.
That's right. Yeah. So what of the beers that we had this weekend, what was one of your favorites?
I don't know if you guys realize, but I had a wonky little coding system, a little picture system
on my
book.
What was that again?
So there was like a check mark for something that I really liked. There was a square for something that we tasted, and it was okay. And there was like a little sad face for things that I wasn't too big of a fan of. And thankfully, there weren't too many of those.
Right.
You know, I showed this book to Bree yesterday, too, though, and she was quite impressed. The Firestone Walker booklet that they give you was really well put together. It lays out all the breweries in alphabetical order with the beers that they were pouring. You know, so it wasn't like you're going up blind. I didn't even have to write any tasting notes because they've got it all right here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the ABV, the IBUs, you're going to have to tell me what SRM as well.
That's the coloring.
Okay, so I'm not familiar with that one. That one's new to me.
It's something like standard something measurement, and it's just whatever the color is. And so the lower the number, the lighter the beer is, the higher the number, the darker.
But it's just really well done. They've got a map in there and everything. And so one of the first beers that we tried actually stayed with me as one of my favorites throughout the day, and that was that Raspberry Wild one from Bell's. It just had great color to me. And, you know, I'm into the sours right now, so I was a little bit biased when I was going around to the different tents. But I thought that one was a really quality beer. It's balanced well, and there's just enough tartness to remind you that it was a sour without being puckery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't – you know, that was – I liked that one. As far as the sours last at this festival – a lot of them were too experimental for me, where I was glad that I tasted it, but all I could do was have that taste, and I ended up dumping the rest of it just because they were palate-wrecking.
they were definitely palate-wrecking.
And I didn't necessarily enjoy them, so I didn't you know, that's one something that you should understand too when you go to beer festivals. And this one did a good job of having dump buckets at every single table. So
yeah, that took me by surprise a little bit. I didn't expect that, but it was a nice touch because there were some beers that I wasn't able to finish, like the that 3-year barley wine from Revolution.
12-14%.
Yeah, it was had good flavor and it was deep and rich and malty, but it was just so heavy. And
well, it was almost 100 degrees at that point.
I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of good drinks in to appreciate it and I had to drop it off. But you know, coming back more towards the California style that we really love, the Kern River Citra Double IPA.
Oh, that was delicious.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Really nice. Good balance in the aroma and the floral and piney aroma aspects, and just a fairly refreshing on the palate for a double IPA. And then back to one that you and I were talking about during the drive home, Nebraska Brewing Company really kind of blew me away with their apricot au poivre saison. Mm-hmm. I thought there was an excellent showcase of spice and fruit in that one without being, you know, like you said, too fruity, tart, or experimental. I think it was just really well done.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick one of the sours, and as I'm going through here, I'll end up finding it, but Temptation was spot on. That was a really nice palate cleansing, and it wasn't too crazy over the top. McKellar, I always want to love their beers. I just can't quite get into a lot of the experimental things that they're doing.
I like the collaboration, but I could see, especially if you're typically avoiding sours because of the tendency to really crush your palate, I could see how that would be challenging to deal with during the day, especially like you said, on a 104 degree day. And you know, we've already had quite a few beers. You want to make sure you remember, but we had a couple of those from Firestone, the Helderado. But no, before we got to Helderado, oh. Remember what was it? Not the Opal, but you had SLO. Something.
The slow lambic.
Slambic. That's slambic. What it was. You like that one quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that one because one of the things is on Firestone Walker on the booklet here that we're looking through.
They're the one group.
They didn't list all the beers, yeah, but they had.
They're the one group that was secretive.
Well, not necessarily secretive. I don't think. I think they just, one, didn't know what they were going to bring, and two, they were bringing so many things that they were going to have to add a whole bunch of pages into this booklet. Sure.
And the fortunate thing for them is they were right down the road, so they could have brought whatever they wanted on a last minute decision.
So one of my favorite finds was Birrifico Italiano.
Oh, the Italians, those guys were cool.
The Tipo Pills yeah. was a fantastic pilsner, and I ended up searching out those beers too because I didn't want anything that was real heavy and highly alcoholic. I was pacing myself for this marathon of a beer festival.
And it really was a marathon. I think you and I talked about the deficit. We were talking about actually on the drive up, half marathons, marathons. You know, my wife and I are runners, you're a runner, and being hydrated and whatnot. We applied those same principles to this, and for the most part, we held strong. We did really well. We had the good water consumption during the beginning of the day, but at one point, I hit the deficit. I was in a hole, and there's no recovering from that. I was, even when I was rinsing my glass, instead of dumping out the rinse water, I was downing it just to keep water coming in.
Right.
And I'd say about 2/3 into the event, I was just getting nice and tipsy. I couldn't dig out anymore.
I certainly had I had a warming buzz by the time we left, but you know, I didn't drink that. I had a liter of water that I wasn't going to drink. I had drank this giant Diet Coke, and I'm like, yeah, this is gonna do me. And then somebody's like, no, that doesn't count. You've got to drink water. I'm like, well, I don't understand the whole. Why doesn't Diet Coke work as opposed to water? It's full of water. It's like 99% water. But so then I'm like, okay.
It's the sugar, though.
I was guilted into it, to bringing this liter of water. So
we did get kind of strong-armed on the water, thankfully.
Well, yeah. But before, as we were waiting in line, I drank that whole liter. So in 15 minutes or so, I drank a liter of water, and that just set everything off on the right foot.
I agree.
And so, you know, every couple of beers, I was drinking another glass full of water. And when I say another couple of beers, I mean, I may have tried two or three different beers and had two or three sips. I hardly ever finished any of my pour samples.
So then maybe that was a little bit of my downfall. I would say it was about 60-40 on the full finish to dump.
Yeah, there were the ones that I did finish were the low ones. So sure. The Pilsners and the Pale Ales, some of those that were refreshing and a low alcohol content, just to make sure that I could survive the day.
Yeah.
So how many beer festivals have you been to?
I think that, looking back, that's only my third.
Okay.
And definitely well done, the biggest one I've been to. But yeah, I don't have as many under my belt as you do.
Well, I don't think, California Beer Festival has probably been the biggest. Well, but you weren't there on the Saturday part of that beer festival.
No, right? I was actually. Oh, you were. Because I volunteered initially. Okay. So I wasn't there. I wasn't partaking the entire event. And that's why it's a little bit different style than what we did on Saturday, because the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, I was helping take tickets and that. I volunteered in order to get free entry. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't gangbusters from the beginning of the event all the way until the end.
Sure.
But I still really enjoyed some of the great beers, and I think I paced myself well then as well. I didn't get full pours each time, and mm-hmm. I tried to stay consistent, but it was not for the same amount of duration as Saturday.
Well, I think it's an important kind of tip to give people too, is this one had somewhere, I heard that there might have been 3,000 people there, which was pretty big, but it was spread out over the entire fairgrounds in Paso Robles. So,
which is a pretty nice facility.
Yeah, and it was never elbow to elbow like California Beer Festival can be sometimes. And then, so this the tip that I would give people, it would be to look for festivals that have a cap at 1,000 or 2,000 people, not ones that go to 5,000,
sure.
10,000, or a Great American Beer Festival where you're in this hall with 20,000 other people every session.
It can be so crazy.
Well, and like the beer festival, like Great American Beer Festival, to their credit, it's in such a huge place that those 20,000 people felt like what we were at today, right. Last weekend.
Because they're using a conference center.
Oh, yeah.
But even still, you want to make sure you've got room to feel comfortable and you're not just jammed in. Mm-hmm. Pounding beer, because I know you and I are well endorsers. That's not even, what is that? Well endorsed. That's ridiculous. We're great endorsers.
I have well endorsed many things.
We're great endorsers of the fact that you're there to appreciate the beer, talk with the brewers mm-hmm. and the breweries to learn about what they're providing and appreciate it, not just to get drunk. If you want to get drunk, go buy yourself a 24-pack of one of the things that we tasted previously right. Just for the challenge. But get in there and really enjoy, work with the breweries and find out what they're serving. Don't be cramped in like cattle just sucking down beer.
Well, yeah, and definitely, especially with some of these, this one's just going to be harder and harder to get tickets for.
Yeah.
Every year from now on.
You know, I got my picture of the sold out sign.
There you go. And so you pick festivals where there are these prestigious kinds of festivals for these brewers to go to, and then ones that have food that are included
and
in it too.
They did a great job of intermixing the food. That was one thing mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on, is they had great big fans out there because it's hot up in Paso. So they had great big fans sporadically placed. They were blowing cool air. They had water stations in numerous locations to keep people hydrated. But then they had the food intermixed with the breweries. So you mm-hmm. could be getting a pour here and move 3 feet to your right and get some food and kind of balance it out.
Right. Yeah. It was a fantastic event. And I think maybe the only reason why I was in such good control was I always had in the back of my head that we were going to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and have to head back for sure. A 3 hour road trip back to Ventura and Camarillo just to spend another day at another festival drinking.
Which was a great time as well. We'll get into that maybe a little later. But there was one beer I wanted to ask for your feedback on. And I know you had a small sip. I can't remember how much you had. But what were your thoughts on Southern Tier's Schizophrenia, Southern Tier out of Bemis Point, New York? And the Schizophrenia was their Imperial Chocolate Stout with fresh raspberries and blackberries wildly fermented in bourbon barrels for 9 months.
Yeah, that one, I thought that one had a really great blend of the sour cherries and the chocolate and the stout. It was one of those well-blended beers, you know, everything came together really well. Other than the fact that it was probably, what was the ABV?
14.2.
You know, so I was glad that I had, you know, maybe a drink out of yours or someone else's. I can't remember.
Yeah, which we definitely one. Shared that one. But that, I starred that one for sure. That was one of my favorite beers for a couple reasons. You know, a lot of the other beers we tried were really solid beers. Some of them I've had before, and I just wanted to get another taste of them. This one I felt was the most unique and surprising. Because when I read the description, I was skeptical. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it turned out to be very well balanced and well done. So just wanted to see what the curious little feedback was.
I ended up trying the pale ale. I'm pretty sure that's what I got poured out of there. But some of these, even out of their list, they may have listed two. They had four or five other beers at their tents. And so if you weren't writing down what you got, then you just, you know, like now it's totally gone.
Yeah.
So
that's one thing I was in control of.
The live pale ale, I don't think I had. I had something else over there besides the schizophrenia. But
well, I always had my pencil in my ear, just like being on the golf course, so I was ready to go. And I want to give a quick shout out. You know, I was feeling representative today, so I grabbed my T-shirt from Shoreline Brewery back in my hometown. It's in a really cool old railroad storage building, and they've done up really nice hardwoods, and they got some fun beers coming out of there. So I've got, I don't know if you guys can see it on air, but Shoreline Brewery. There are a little cooling tower in the background. Don't drink the water, drink the beer.
The Springfield three-eye fish there.
Yeah, you like that? Because it's right by our electrical processing facility. They're within a stone's throw from that. So it's kind of a little take on the water that they're pulling out for the brewery. And they're right there on the harbor of Lake Michigan. So.
Sure, Monty Burns is sitting back there going.
But they've got some fun beers and they're doing some cool stuff, you know. It wasn't there when I first, or when I was living there initially. After I moved away, they were established and utilized that space. But I've had their beer, and I don't know, I'm just feeling like a little hometown spirit today.
There you go. All right, so that's a good spot for us to kind of get through and cleanse our palates, I guess. Get ready for the first beer coming up, which will be Light Hybrids. So we're going to take about a 5-minute break. We're going to rinse out our glasses, cleanse our palates, and get ready for the next, for the official.
The official show. You've been listening to the ramblings of Curtis Taylor, a.k.a. Hophead Said, and Jason Hendrick, a.k.a. The Hungry Man from Everybody's Hungry. We're going to cleanse our palates and be back.
And I've got some nice little reggae music to play through until we get back.
Excellent. See you in a minute. I'm Jason Hendrick, Hungry Man from Everybody's Hungry.
And I'm Curtis Taylor from HopheadSaid.com.
You've been listening to Pints and Pairings.
And we'll catch you on the next pour.